particular need, we're a visual group of people here. We want to see something happen. Well, we don't always see it happen. But we can feel the Holy Spirit as we trust Him and pray and read His Word. We can have Him speak to us loudly. Oh, yeah, it's a small voice, but it touches us inside. So we know that He is three in one. And the Scriptures, the triple expression in the Scriptures, we can look in Isaiah and Revelations, and it says, holy, holy, holy. Touching each one of those, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in Matthew was an example there where Christ was being baptized. And we see that example there in Matthew and Luke of the Gospels where He's there being baptized and God speaks from heaven and the Holy Spirit appears as a dove comes down and you have the Son there getting baptized. The greatest example of the three in one. The Hebrew name of God is Elohim. And it is plural. It's meaning three or more is what it means. Though it's plural, He acts as one. We can look and see. I've got Genesis marked there. Let's look in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Well, in today's world, they don't like to read that verse. They don't like to hear that verse. God created everything. And He created male and female. Boy, how the devil has blurred that today. What a mess we're in, folks. We need to hold on to the truths of God. Just those two verses right there tells us so much about what God has done and what we need to hold on to. It's the truth. The obvious conclusion is God is one, yet God is three. He's three persons in one. He's a triunity. You hear the word, they shorten that to triune God. Some folks have as they speak. He's three in one. I believe that. I don't have a problem believing that. And none of us here probably have a problem believing that. And none of us here have a problem probably knowing that you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. Because the Bible says so. But do we really wrap our hearts and minds around that and get a grip of that? That we have the Holy Spirit, part of the Trinity, dwelling within us to give us the ability to have godly discernment in a crazy world that we live in. Godly discernment today. Where can you find it? Everywhere you go, I'm telling you, again this week, I was out doing business in VDOT in Virginia and engineers and this and that and the other. It don't make no difference where you go. It's on people's minds and hearts they say, what a mess we're in. What this or that. The conversation comes up. The conversation comes up, and it's so easy to say, well, are you saved? Where do you go to church? And most of the people say yes. Some say, well, I don't go to church anywhere, but I do believe. Well, what do you believe in? Do you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you? It opens doors for conversations, the world that we have today. So we can go on and talk about theology and the names of God. Elohim is the official title of God. Jehovah is his personal name. If you go back to Exodus chapter 6, 1 through 8, he's talking about, I've done this and I've done that. I am. He says his name is I Am. He's a personal name. I am your Savior. I am the all-powerful. I am the all-knowing. I can help you. In whatever way you want to put after I am, God has the ability to do that. Adonai is the name of master or our owner. So he is our master. We are, once we have the Holy Spirit, we're a child of God. He owns us. We're his. And then other names like the Most High God, El Elyon, the Most High God. Talks about that in Genesis. El Shaddai, the Almighty God. El Olam, the Everlasting God. He's forever, from the beginning to the end. There is no end, there is no beginning. You can put that infinite symbol there, an eight laying on its side. It never ends. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. What does God need to provide for you today? Do you honestly believe that God has all power and can provide anything that you need? Now, we can sit there and say, yeah, I believe that. I understand that. Take it to heart, folks. Really get a hold of that. He can provide. In a day of confusion, personal illness, financial needs, people that are involved in drugs or alcohol, all that God can do, He can provide an answer for all that. We just have to trust Him and really believe that He can do it. We will never have any peace in our life. We can go around, I've been saved, whatever, 40, 50, 60 years, and say, I know all that. Folks, there's a big difference between here and here, your head and your heart. You've got to take that stuff to heart and got to really get a hold of it and believe it, that He can provide. Jehovah Shalom is peace. He's the Lord of peace. He can give us peace. You can look at all the Old Testament stories, New Testament stories, you know, the battles. Look at the battle of Gideon, and he gave him peace. The angels was there fighting for him and the nation. He can do the same thing for us. He can give us peace in a time that's hard. Folks, things of this world can get hard to carry. We can't do it. You've got to trust God to help you carry the load. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, holy, holy, holy. Praise His high and holy name. Jehovah Sitkanu, that's a new word for me. I had to look that one up and let the phone say it before I could read it. The Lord of righteousness. Do we know anybody else that is perfectly true and righteous? There is none. He's all truth, all righteous, knows all, sees all, can do all. The provider of peace. He's the provider of our needs. He is the Lord of hosts. And on and on and on. We have to take this serious. Let's see here. Now let's look at some attributes. God's attributes, his essence, who he is, what he is. And we only get what the Bible tells us, which is a lot, but we get what we think we can understand, what God thinks we can understand. I mean, we can only think so far about heaven. We can only think so far about how is he going to do this. It's not for us to reason out. It's for us to believe and trust. He is self-sufficient. He is self-existent. That when people start, when you start talking to people about God, they have all kinds of opinions in this generation that we live in today. Well, he can be whatever people say, well, whatever you want to be, he can be to you. I believe this. Well, I believe this. Well, as our pastors preached here in the recent, well, what is the truth? Is the truth is what somebody believes? Or is the truth this word right here? Which we all know that is the truth. Again, though, do we believe that he is unchanging, as it says in James 1:7? He's immutable. He never changes. He can't change. He will not change. What he said in the past is what he says now, and what he's going to say forever. His word's unchanging. God cannot change. It's not in his nature to change. And then you hear somebody say, well, why does God let what's going on in the world going on? Or why this or why that? Folks, we live in a sinful world. And the devil's like a roaring lion about devouring nations and people. Folks, we believe some of that stuff that's being talked. We can't. You can listen to the news media. You can listen to the ones that you think is saying the truth. There is but one truth in this world, and that's God's word. And that's it. And we start going beyond that and trying to mix up God's truth. See, a lot of people do that. They mix up God's truth with truth of the world or somebody's opinion, and it gets all crossways. The truth of who God is and his sufficiency, he's unchanging. I don't care what we say or what anybody says. The truth of it is God's word, and that's what it says he is. And I believe that. And we can't let outside influences say, well, whatever. He can do this, but I don't know if he can do this. Or he can take care of this. Well, why is he not taking care? I mean, all kinds of things start throwing all these what-if stuff in there. They know what-ifs about God. God is God. God is all-powerful, all-knowing. He's self-sufficient. He never changes. And you look at time and space. He's eternal. You can see that in Revelations, and you can see it in Psalms. You can see it all through the Bible. He's eternal. And look at space. He is immense. He created all that. He hung all those stars out there. And all these people think, well, there's got to be a beginning. And we've spent, who knows, trillions of dollars to send some kind of new telescope out there to try to see the end of it all. I think it'd be nice if they get that telescope tuned in and it turns over and see some golden gates there. Then they know the truth. But they wouldn't tell you. We know that God hung the stars, and we know He's immense, and we know that He's eternal, never changing, created everything, set everything in motion. More attributes. He's omnipotent, which means He has all power. There is no other power higher than Him. He has the power to do whatever you need Him to do. He has the power to heal Debbie. He has that power. And I have to believe that He can. He's omniscient. He knows everything. The Bible says that we can get to a point to where we don't know what to pray. And the Holy Spirit will take over. Have you ever been there? You just don't know what to pray. Let the Holy Spirit guide you, and He prays for us when we get to that point. That's just another attribute of the Holy Spirit being able to help us pray and help us know what to say and how to say. And folks, I ain't standing up here. Steve Mullins is just an old creek boy. I ask the Holy Spirit to help me every Sunday. I ask Him to help me through the week to get some kind of understanding on this. All this, when I first turned on these pages and looked at all this study, I thought, well, that's a bunch of data. What am I going to say about all that? Just facts. Well, the fact of it is, it's the truth. But the real truth about it is, do we really, really have it in our heart to where we can get a hold of some of these things and say, God, I'm gonna hold on to You because I know You're sufficient in this problem that I've got. You've got all the power. You know the beginning from the end. Lord, help me in this. You have the ability to do this. I don't know how. I can't explain it. But God, I know that You can do this for me. And He's omnipresent. I've experienced that on the mission field. And anybody that's went on the mission field anywhere. And I can talk back about the Ukraine. Brother Harry and I, and the preacher was there. And preaching at this meeting, and all these people come out of this little town after their cows come in and they went back to the fields, and we were preaching and people got saved because God is present everywhere all the time at one time. Now there's coming a day when the influence of the Holy Spirit in this world is going to be limited because He lives within us. That doesn't mean He goes away, but He lives within us. And when the rapture comes, it's going to be too late for a lot of people that hasn't trusted Christ for their Savior. Now, will the Holy Spirit still be here? Yeah, He's dwelling here. God's just like He was in the Old Testament. He come and went in the Old Testament. Now He permanently dwells because of what Christ did on the cross. But you think it's bad now? You think how it'll be when we're all raptured out of here? Now, folks, it'll turn the devil loose. And a lot of people say, "Well, would there be people saved during that time?" And we can do that studying. There's 144,000, and all the talk and all the studies. And yes, people will be saved during that time. At the end of that, when Christ comes back and His feet shuts down on Mount Olives there at the end of the seven-year tribulation period. And he separates the sheep and the goat, and people that got saved during the tribulation period will go on into the millennial reign. But that's going to be very, very few. And that's done by the Holy Spirit. But they get saved during the seven-year tribulation period because of their faith in who he is, with the power of the Holy Spirit helping them to believe that. Because everybody's going to take that mark, wherever it's at, in your hand, your head, whatever. But the Holy Spirit's more powerful than some mark of the beast. People get saved. People get martyred. Yeah, it's going to be a tough time. Folks, everything, again, I honestly believe that everything's in place for that to happen. Everything's happened that needs to be happened. There's just one thing left: that next person to be saved. We don't know that number. We don't know that day. God's not given it to us. But do I believe that? Yes. I believe the rapture will happen on a Sunday. Because a lot of people in church, a lot of people come to church, a lot of people get saved around the face of the earth on Sunday. Because that's normally the day people come to church and hear the word. And it may not be that. It may be some far away place under some little tree in the middle of Africa in the middle of the week that somebody bows the knee and say, I believe. God has the power to do that through the Holy Spirit. See, that's just that Holy Spirit. We got so much more than just getting saved when we say we got saved. We have a hope of heaven, a home in heaven forever. Our families are there, that our loved ones are there that have been saved. All those wonderful truths because of God's power. And we have to hold on to those things. He is holy. Holy, holy, holy. There is no other holy person. There is no one that can, the three in one. There is no one belief in any other statue or idol or all the garbage that's in the world today. It is God and God alone, the three in one. And then, who other would you want to judge somebody? One of his attributes is he is just. Would I want Pastor Herman standing at the judgment seat judging people? No, I want God standing there. There is nobody, no person, nothing that is more just than God or Jesus Christ. At the great white throne judgment, you tell people about that and they say, well, why would a just God throw people in a lake of fire? It's sin, and it has to be separated from a holy, perfect God. It can't even be near him. He don't even want to have anything to do with it. He says, depart from me, I never knew you. He is just. Do you believe that he's just? See, we can get to the point that we can start thinking, God, why did you let this happen? Why has this happened in my life? Why have I lost a loved one? Why is my children like this? Or why is my grandchildren like this? Or why don't them people see the truth? Why is God letting that go on? It's sin, folks. He will not shoulder up, stand beside anything that's sin. He is a just God and will judge it. He will judge it. He is so just that we are judged at the judgment seat of Christ during the seven-year tribulation period. Now, I'm supposed to be like Christ. I've got the Holy Spirit dwelling within me, but I've still got this old nature that I have to deal with every minute of every day. So I know what I'm supposed to do, and just like Paul said, what I want to do, I don't do, and what I don't want to do, I do. It's a battle every day, and we have to have the Holy Spirit and God helping us with that, because God knows our frame. He made us. He knows we're just dust, and we're going to stand in front of that seat, and he's going to look at us and talk to us about what we did while we were so-called saved or Christians or ever how you want to hang a tag on it. We're children of God after we're saved. He's just in being able to do that. He's going to just judge every person that's ever been alive, either at the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment. He is God, and he has the ability to do that, and he will do that. Don't ever think it's not going to happen. Anybody that says, I'm good enough to get there, no, you're not. We all know that the Bible says the best we can do is just filthy rags in his eyes. He's going to judge. And he is a righteous judge. He is right. There is no one else that can do it. And along with being just and righteous, he's merciful. How many times has he had mercy on you and me? Any of us? He's got all the mercy. He wants to give you mercy. I want to ask him for mercy. I'm going to say, God, I'm so sorry I did that. And he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins if we ask and put them behind us and turn away from it. He is a just God. He is a merciful God. He can't be any more just. He can't be any more merciful. He's got it all. And I'm glad he does, because I mess up a lot and I need his mercy. Not only is he just and merciful, but he's faithful to do that. He's faithful. He'll never change. He'll always be there. He'll always be faithful. And why is he that way? Because he loves us. How in the world? I do not have that kind of love in my being. It's I can't imagine letting one of my children hang on a cross and die for a thief or somebody that's really ugly. Somebody that just in our eyes was, could I do that? I just had to ask myself, no, I don't think I could. Only a just, only an all-powerful, only a merciful judge could do that. Faithful. He saves people because of what his son did on the cross. His son's on the cross because he has all the love that anybody could have. These attributes, these last ones we are talking about, is kind of like a relation with mankind. I mean, he's holy, he's just, he's merciful, he's faithful, and all that comes because he loves us. I am so glad that God loves me. It's beyond our comprehension, the love of God that constrains us and holds us together through the Holy Spirit dwelling richly within us. It's a gift. We didn't do anything to get it. Can't do anything to keep it. It's a gift. All that's a gift. His holiness, his just, his mercy, his faithful, his love, all that comes in a big package when you get saved. He is God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I don't know what else to say. Do you have it in your heart? You got it in your head, I know. I look across here, most everybody in here knows it. But do you have it in your heart? Apply these truths today. Apply them to your heart and to your life, and use these tools that God has given us to keep us going forward for the cause of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your grace. God, I thank you so much for all your attributes and what we have in the Holy Spirit. Lord, we have you dwelling richly within us to help us be what we need to be. But we still have that self that we have to put down every day. Lord, help us to believe and trust and use these attributes so that we can have a successful Christian life and live in peace with the world and the people around us. Lord, we thank you so for all that you do for us every day and every minute of every day. Now, Lord, I pray for the service this morning. Pray that there'll be someone come in here this morning that needs something from you. Help our preacher to say the words, preach the word, and say whatever it is you want them to hear, Lord, that their hearts will be changed, lives will be changed, someone gets saved. But we thank you for your love. Thank you for all your grace and mercy and all these attributes, Lord. You're so good to us. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you all.